familiar scripture for most of us. Starting in verse number 10, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. In verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." How do you do that? "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand." That's what they sang about this morning, these kids. "Stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood." So it's not with somebody, it's a spiritual warfare, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the media. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Tell you what, stand. Amen. So number one, after you've decided, "I'm going to live for God, I'm going to stand for God," he's saying, having your loins girded about with truth. Amen. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication," how? "In the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for" who? "All saints." Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning, your anointing. We need to hear from heaven, not from just a preacher. We want something that's going to enter our minds and sift into our hearts. Touch it as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Now, if you were to describe the armor of the soldier, where would you start? If you were looking at a soldier and you saw them with all of the armor on, what would stand out to you the most? Perhaps the largest piece of armor, which is the shield, the grandeur of the decorated gleaming shield in the sunlight. And not only was it there in order to protect against arrows and darts, but it also reflected the sun in their eyes, and so they couldn't be very effective. Or maybe the greatest defense, his finely honed sword to vanquish the enemy. Let him see the sword. Let's describe that beautiful instrument in order to guard against evil. Yet Paul chose to start with what seems like the most harmless item possible when he exhorts the saints of God to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the first thing he says is, I want you to look at the belt. Loins meaning waist or hips, girt meaning the belt. He's saying, first of all, I want you to tighten up your belt. The belt of a Roman soldier during this time carried great significance, more so than you could imagine. It was a very crucial part of the soldier's uniform. The belt itself was comprised of two bands of leather surrounding the waist, very similar to the Western gun belt. They didn't have 45s back then, but they had a belt that was there in order to keep all of what they needed in order to defend against the enemy. There was an apron of 4 to 8 narrow strips of leather that hung down from the front of the belt, if you will. I want you to imagine that. The leather of both the waist belt and the apron were decorated with narrow metal plates and round-shaped studs in order to give it more strength and lividity. Their ornate addition were there not just for decorations, but to give it stableness in order to handle other things. And also identify the soldier's rank, which army that they fought for. Now, when I think about a belt like that, I many times think about a carpenter's belt. I think about, you know, Todd Graff when he's doing his thing, or Brother Wayne, or one of the Dorflingers. They put on this heavy belt, you know, and it would be worthless if it was just the belt and it didn't have the tools hanging from it, you know. I'm so impressed when people have a bunch of tools. Even more impressed when they actually know how to use the stuff that is on their belt. I have one of those belts someplace, I'm not sure where, and I've scavenged the tools from the belt, and frankly, I don't know how people stand after a whole day of carrying all of the tools that they have, but each tool has a purpose, and it has to be readily accessible. And so the belt of a soldier identified the soldier. The belt identified him more than his uniform. Truth identifies us more than anything else that we have. People walk up to us and they say, "What church do you go to?" You know, because we have truth. Truth is displayed. It's displayed through our face. It's displayed through our clothes. It's displayed through our attitudes, our demeanor. The cloak or tunic of the soldier didn't differ much from that of a very wealthy citizen of the day. So their tunic was fine cloth, and it was decorated, but so were some of the very rich people of that day. But the belt set him apart from the public and from opposing armies. The soldier was proud to identify with the army that he was a part of. Church, are we grateful to identify with Pentecost? Or is this something, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power unto salvation," or I got power because of this truth. Now on the practical side, much like the belt of the backpacker, the Roman soldier belt carried a heavy load. It wasn't just decoration. It wasn't just to identify who he was, including a scabbard for the soldier's sword, which was very heavy, and served as a resting place for the weight of the shield as they marched into battle. So instead of carrying this huge shield like this, and by the time they get to where they were going to do battle, now they're exhausted, they could rest it on the belt of truth. You see, so we're not tired because of the shield of faith. Without the belt, the soldier's strength would be depleted, which would render both his weapon and his defense ineffective in the battle. Now, the belt also served as a foundation or a lashing point for all of the other things that they needed to have. For the pieces of the soldier's armament. And during the battle, the breastplate perhaps could be lost if it wasn't lashed to the belt. I'm telling you, if you don't have truth, the chances are of you carrying all of the rest of the armor is just not going to work. So why go through all of this description of the soldier and his belt? Well, Paul knew the significance of starting with the belt. He purposely related the belt to truth. He clearly stated that truth must be the foundation of every Christian's walk with God. If you don't have truth, you cannot take on the rest of the armor. You're not going to have the sword of the Spirit. You're not going to have the helmet of salvation. Your feet will not be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Without truth, the shield of faith will tax your strength. Oh, I don't know if I have enough strength in order to go on because of the difficulties, the battles I go through. And faith will be ineffective when we need that faith the most because of truth. Without truth, the sword of the Spirit will be used without the power of the Spirit. Without truth, righteousness will leave us vulnerable at the time that it's most critical. It's the truth. If then truth is a foundation to putting on the whole armor of God, then we need to protect truth at all costs. There is nothing more important. If you lose a love for the truth, you will lose eventually everything else. Pastor, preach it to me. Give me truth every time we gather together, because I need to tighten the belt, if you will. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59 and 14 says this. What an incredible scripture. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and honesty cannot enter. So if truth falls in, and it could be eroded a little at a time, take a little bit. Let's loosen the belt a little so we're a little more comfortable. That truth is just tightening. I'm not very comfortable with it. Take the truth away. Judgment is gone. Honesty is gone. Miracles are gone. A move of God's Spirit is gone because we have let go. Buy the truth and sell it now. It means that you're going to have to pay for truth. We're not going to blend in with everybody because we have a belt of truth. David said in Psalms 119 and 160, "Thy word is truth from the beginning." And Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. Would you turn to John 17? This is a very simple message, but to me, it is so profound. John 17, verse number 6, Jesus said, "I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept and done them, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. How are we sanctified? How are we set apart? We're set apart because we have truth. I mean, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." We're sanctified. We're set apart. We're protected. We are blessed because we have truth. But if we let go of that truth, everything else that is supported by truth, all of the protection, all of the promises, all of the sanctification, all of that is lost because we let go a little bit of truth. Well, it's not relevant for today, really. If it's in the book, it's relevant for today. God will not change his mind, folks. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3, it says, I am God and I change not. Hallelujah. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Here, according to the scripture, is the wisest man who ever lived on the face of the earth. And we really need to heed to his words. I know it's anointed, but what God is saying is here's somebody who has wisdom beyond any other man that's on the face of the earth. And starting in verse number 9, it says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. Hallelujah. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So the words of truth, they are stable, they are solid. You can depend upon them. They're not going to change. It's the framework of the church. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen, I've had the brains, I've had the bucks, I have had every pleasure imaginable. I built buildings and gardens, and I've had everything that I could possibly want, and I've come to this conclusion. There's only one thing that's important. Fear God and keep his commandments. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes people look at God as an old senile individual that, he doesn't see this and he knows my heart. He understands that it's hard for me. No. He's saying, listen, everything that you do, whether it's good or evil, Paul also knew that the truth would proclaim identity to this world. It's not a truth, it's the truth. Here's the problem with some is that they latch on to a portion of truth and say, that's enough. When God's saying, no. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, the greatest lie has a fabric of truth woven into it, making it so susceptible to people saying, well, we've got some, we're holding on to this. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me or by truth. The revelation of Jesus Christ will identify us and set us apart from all other religions of the world. Amen. Just like that belt identified. Well, that's a Roman soldier. That's a Christian soldier, you see. Now, that apron on the soldier's belt protected the reproductive parts of the body. It was flexible, but it was there in order to protect something that was so important. And if we leave truth in any degree, our children will be the first to suffer. And because we leave truth, that belt of truth, what's going to happen is we will not have a voice to the rest of this world. If you surrender a portion of truth, most likely your children will surrender all of the truth. Don't they deserve the same testimony that we had when we came into the church? Don't they deserve the same kind of movement and demonstrations of God's Spirit as we did at the very beginning? Yet now it seems like there are some that have to just work up the presence of God when God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those who have a perfect heart towards him. Truth is the pillar for all that we do and what we say. Amen. Hallelujah. This week I met a man on the tennis court. Never met him before, but he just had moved from Jerusalem, and I walked up to him and I said, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohelu. And he looked at me like I was the strangest person in the world. I said, Shema. I said, so you're a citizen of that city, but you do not line up with what that city stands for. Take a look at what every Jewish child was supposed to know. The Shema, Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Some of the greatest words in the entire Bible. We sing it in our church. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them how diligently unto thy children and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the bondage, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. And ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. And so what I'm saying and what this scripture is saying, we constantly need to reaffirm truth in the lives of our children and those. My responsibility is to constantly reaffirm truth in the lives of people who have been living for God for years and years and years. You still need to hear truth. Amen. Truth must be at the very foundation to protect the generations to come. And that's what Solomon was saying. If our children are not grounded in truth, we will lose those children to the world. They will not think that the belt is significant anymore, and they don't have the protection of the whole armor of God that's going to protect them from the wiles of this world. Some want to live for God without any battles. Well, God's saying to all saints, put on the whole armor of God, not because you're not going to have battles, but you're going to have battles. You're going to have to stand. You need some kind of protection. Oh, I'll take the sword, but the shield is so heavy. the helmet is too restrictive, you know. We have a helmet law in Wisconsin and the world. He's saying, don't go out without your helmet. It's going to protect you. You're thinking there's going to be some bumps and there's going to be some bruises, but take on the helmet of salvation. Well, the breastplate is just too confining. I see other Christians without all of these restrictions. Yes, but do they have the belt of truth? Truth will set you free. It won't encumber you. I got to believe that when a soldier went into war, if he had all of this armament, he felt a little more confident than if he walked in without any kind of armament, you see. Now, if you have worn the armor for a while, you find that your shield of faith is getting a little heavy, and from time to time that happens. Get back into the word of truth and check your belt. If you find your righteousness is slipping out of place, check your belt for truth. Amen. Go back into the word of God and reconfirm, this is true. This is going to help me, you see. On occasion, life presents all of us with some opportunities for a gut check, if you will. From time to time, our resolve will be tested and our commitment and priorities must be reevaluated. And that's what happens. We come back to a church service and then we set the bar where it's supposed to be and we're reevaluating. Yes, I need to do that. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, and we get back on track. Well, I don't need to go to church all the time, really. Well, you're going to lose your faith. You're going to lose your protection. You're going to lose the truth. In spiritual warfare, a gut check might be better described as a gird check or tightening of your belt. And if there was ever a time to tighten up our belt and say, hey, I'm holding on to this truth, now is the day to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. On the eve of a supernatural exodus from Egypt, you know, all of these shadows and types from the Old Testament to the day that we're living in, Moses received specific instructions from the Lord regarding the Passover, how you needed to take that lamb on the 10th day and then everybody kills it on the 14th day and put the blood on the doorposts. It's all about the blood of Jesus on this tabernacle, this doorpost that the angel of death would pass over, and there were certain ways in order to prepare the lamb, and that you had to have your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. But the number one, first on the list, have your loins girded. Number one, if you're going to have anything, you better stay with truth. If you don't have truth, it doesn't matter about the blood because it won't be on the house. It doesn't matter about your shoes. It won't matter about the word of God because you don't have truth. Truth will allow us to escape the bondage of this world and lead us to a promised land. But it all begins with truth. Hallelujah. Today there's some. There's virtual reality, you know, and everything. You know, our kids, some of your kids, grow up with video games, and they're becoming so real that they put themselves in it, and they almost feel as if they are in war or they are in a place of assault, and it's virtual reality or fake reality. And there's so many things that today that are fake reality. The world says it's, that's right, that's right. The media says, that's right. Protesters say, it's my body. All of these things, and after a while, if they keep going on with virtual reality, it somehow can be transferred to us as real reality or real truth when it's false truth. Hallelujah. Today, our marching orders are the same as in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Let your loins be girded about, and don't let truth fall in the street of religion. Amen. Oh, I want this church to grow. It is my heart's desire. If God would stand before me right now and say, Pastor Schumacher, what do you want most? Yeah, it'd be nice to have a condo on a beach someplace, you know. Lots of money in the bank. No troubles. God knows my heart, and it would be to grow this church. But not just to put bodies in the pew. But people who are ready to hear the trump. Ready to be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when he comes back, we're ready. Not that we're, you know, oh boy, I got to go get some oil. No, no, we're ready. We've got the whole armor on God. But more importantly, we have truth. And we're not letting go of that truth at all. Would you turn to Luke, the 12th chapter? Luke 12, verse 35. Starting in verse 34, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I mean, what's the most important thing in your life? That's what he's saying. That's where your heart is. Let your loins be girded about and your light burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Been waiting for you, Jesus. Oh, I got to get ready. No, no, waiting for you, Jesus. Amen. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. Well, I don't think Jesus is coming back for another 10 years, Pastor. Well, that may be fine, but you may be hit by a bus tomorrow, and Jesus will come for you. You never know when your last day is. Amen. On this earth. Glory to God. It's time to tighten your belt. Some will say, well, you know, let's talk about grace. Let's talk about God's mercy. Let's talk about God's acceptance. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about protection. Let's talk about the sword of the Spirit. No. First. Amen. First, we need to talk about truth. We can't talk about faith. We can't talk about miracles. We can't talk about all of the mercies of God if we don't first talk about truth. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you should back off a little bit, especially on Sunday morning. Somebody's going to get offended. No, I'm sorry. I'm telling you what. Truth offended me at first, but I couldn't doubt it. There's only one baptism in the Bible, and it's in Jesus' name. And what's the purpose for baptism? It's for the washing away of sins. And everyone who was filled with the Holy Ghost began to speak in other tongues. I'm sorry, it's in the book. It's truth. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is, if you get your loins girded with truth, all of these other things just automatically come. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. All of the promises of God. All of the ways of escape. All of the power of the sword of the Spirit. They're all there. Loosen your belt, you lose it all. Brother Billy Cole was a great man of God. I don't know of anybody who had a greater results in revival as he did. But I remember him telling me that he was in Papua New Guinea and the only way they could transport him was in the back of a truck. And so when they got to the place where he was preaching, now Billy Cole was probably 650 pounds or more, a little guy, loved God. He jumped off the truck, and when he jumped off the truck, his pants kept going. And he said, okay, go ahead, laugh, you know. And you know, the reason is because he didn't have his belt tight. I don't want to be caught with my pants down in this world with the truth of all of what God has for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. I only have a couple more scriptures, but would you turn to John, the third chapter? Familiar scripture, but it's true. Verse number 1 of that third chapter, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So what Nicodemus is, he's a high priest. He didn't come during the day because he didn't want all of his other priest friends to know he was coming to Jesus for some information. But I'll tell you what, I'm really curious about all of these miracles that are happening. What's going on? Could we talk a little bit about the miracles? And you know what Jesus said? No. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know what he's saying? You better gird up the loins of truth. I can't tell you about the miracles. I can't tell you about the great things that I do before you have truth in your life. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says here, hey, listen, I told you about the belt once. I'm going to tell you about the belt one more time. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First things first. You got to have truth. You got to have salvation. Oh, there are churches who have miracle Sundays and they have giving Sundays and they got God's promise Sundays. But you know what? First, first, first. Would you turn to Acts, second chapter. Sometimes I'm reluctant to preach out of the second chapter of Acts because it's so second nature to all of us. But truth needs to be repeated over and over and over again. And I thank God for visitors in every one of our services. And I thank God that when I was a visitor, somebody spoke truth to me. Amen. So here's Peter on the day of Pentecost. He's just filled with the Holy Ghost, 120 people, and everybody is saying, well, what is this? And he's saying, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. These men are not drunk as you suppose. And then he talks about Jesus and how he was put on the cross. And David, verse 34, David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thee thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, verse 36, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Okay. I'm going to stick my finger in your face and I'm going to tell you something. You are responsible for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, that's evangelism, huh? But there was results. Amen. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, Oh, tough message, Peter. But when they heard it, when they heard truth, when they heard what the Word of God says under the anointing of God's Spirit, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, it's one thing to get caught. It's another thing to be sorry. And these men recognized there was something that they needed to do, and they were sorry, and they were pricked in their hearts. And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward or warped generation. If there was any words that apply to this year, it's this scripture. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. Here's the key. Are you receiving the word of God? Or are we Philadelphia lawyers? Well, I don't know. It could be a loophole here. And the same day, they didn't wait a week, they didn't wait 2 months, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. Hallelujah. Because truth will do more for anybody than anything. And we're thinking, well, only a few people really want truth. No, 3,000 a month are looking for truth on our website. 3,000. Why this one? Because they're hearing something that they have never heard before. They're hearing about the miracles of God. They're hearing about the deliverance of God. They're hearing about people who have cancer and they don't have cancer anymore. There was a guy who called from Nebraska yesterday and he said, could you send me one of those anointed handkerchiefs? Because there's nobody around here that'll anoint a handkerchief, and I've got a need here. Here's my address. Will you send me a handkerchief? We don't realize the effect we have on other people. We don't realize the power that we have, not because we read about the miracles, not because we read about the deliverance in the Bible, but we tighten our belt. We're saying, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. We got the real deal here, folks. The real deal. Amen. I know I've used this illustration before, but I remember at camp years ago going onto the Indian reservation, and you could buy any kind of fireworks you wanted. You know, they had little lady fingers, and they had whole sticks of dynamite, folks. It's a different nation there. The rules don't apply. The police officers bought the, you know, half sticks, M80s, cherry bombs, all of those things, and there's something about guys, I guess, that maybe it's just me. And I said, are you kidding? These are. And so he's at a filling station. He lights one and throws it over the bank, and stones fly up into the air, you know. I'm saying, really? He said, yeah, we got the real thing. Amen. You could go buy sparklers in town. But we got the real things. If you want a sparkler church, that's fine. But we have dynamite. We have power because of truth. Hallelujah. 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 You need to pray for the protection of truth. Not only on you, but on your family and upon this church. Because we've got a great start, we're going to have a better finish. Hallelujah. And what's going to cause that to happen? It's going to be truth that is going to prevail. It's not going to fall in the aisle in this church. Truth is going to continue. It's going to prick the hearts of some, but that's all right. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?